Welcome back to Edge of Indy. Hey, it's great to be able to have you on. We are talking to some Indiana-based businesses originating right out of Indiana in the Basket Basin. What is it? The Silicon Prairie. Whatever you want to talk about. This is the show to check out everything about that today on The Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Whatever that is, it's right here. You're at the right place. This is Edge of Indy. And if you haven't seen Edge of Indy, then let me tell you real quick what it's all about. It's about focusing on Indiana and Indianapolis businesses that are moving and shaking and helping really grow Indianapolis culture, workplace, and just communities. We're talking to people regularly, featuring people and organizations that are helping make Indianapolis an awesome place to live, visit, and work. So we implore you regularly. Learn about who we talk to on the show and choose local often. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. All right. I'm going to introduce our guest in the studio today. We have Brittany Simpson, digital marketing strategist of Site Strategics.
Live from the Basket Basin.
The Basket Basin, whatever that is. The Basin of the Basket, Silicon Prairie. That's a classic.
It's new. Everyone start using it. Hashtag Basket Basin.
It's kind of like an inception. There's basins, and you can put baskets in them. And in one way, shape, or form, there's a hearth here. I'm trying to get there. You're basket not really helping me, are you? And Mel McMahon Stone.
Hi.
Co-founder of Indiana Originals. Hi there.
Thanks for having me basket basin.
Not going to lie.
I've never heard of us called Silicon Prairie, but I can think of why.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm honored.
Already across the desk, just taking some jabs.
I'm just having fun. Isn't that what you're all about? Having fun?
Not making fun of the host as part of the show. But, you know, hey, it's all right. It's always nice to have friends of the show. Thanks for being here, Mel. Yeah, you're the founder of Indiana Originals.
Yeah.
The original basket basin.
Yes. That's what we want in our basket, all those originals.
Oh, dear.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so Indiana Originals is a growing statewide directory of locally owned and operated businesses that originate right here in Indiana. So lots of people want to buy local and shop local and use local, but oftentimes identifying local isn't that easy. And if you can't find it, it's not really convenient. And supporting local really isn't just a trend or a fad.
Right.
I mean, it's imperative. And so at Indiana Originals, we try to connect people who want to support local with those local businesses. And then we give our members, those business owners, resources to make money, save money, and find new customers.
Okay. So
let's say I wanted to search for local baskets.
You did it. See?
You can find those at IndianaOriginals.com and on our app.
No.
I might even be able to find somebody to make you a silicone one.
You see what's going on here? All right. So why is it an imperative? I'm just going to play with you here. Why is it an imperative to choose local? Now, we talk about this on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why is it an imperative?
Well, local business owners do a lot more for the community than people even realize.
Mm-hmm.
There's a private research firm out east called Civic Economics, and they did 12 different studies trying to find the impact of local. And they found some amazing discoveries. One is that local Indiana original business owners put 3 to 5 times more money back into the local economy as opposed to a national franchise or a national chain.
Hmm.
So what that means is more money for infrastructure, more money for schools, health and wellness. They also found that communities that have more local businesses that are more unique obviously attract more people, attracts more dollars,
right,
attracts more tourism. You know, the more sidewalks you have in your neighborhood, the healthier people are because then they're incentivized to walk places. There's a direct link between the number of local businesses in your neighborhood and the physical health and mental health of the people that live there.
Hmm.
Because that usually means more jobs, usually means more resources. It usually means more community building.
Right.
And local non-for-profits get 250% more donations from local business owners than they do from national foundations. That's huge. That's a huge impact.
That is fantastic.
So when you're supporting local, you're really affecting your quality of life.
That's awesome. So your directory has more than 200 members. Is that right?
Yes.
And they run the gamut. Like every kind of business you could ever possibly think of is represented in this directory.
Like
so tell
baskets.
Us more. All the baskets.
All the baskets. All the baskets for you.
Can you tell us more about like the range of businesses that you represent?
Yeah, when a lot of people think local, they immediately think of restaurants. They immediately think of boutiques, and we have those too. But what we try to show people is that it's easy to live a local lifestyle from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you go to bed at night. So the mattress that you're sleeping on could be made right here in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Those children's books you're reading your kids at night could be made right here in Indiana. And so we have things on IndianaOriginals.com that you can use for your everyday needs, not just special occasions or not just gifts. And we have a lot of business owners that are really, you know, taking their side hustles, leaving corporate and becoming, they're using those talents to create their own businesses too. So everything from, you know, marketing firms to website builders to mm-hmm. CPAs to lawyers, you know, we have things that you can use all the time, not just, you know, on a night out or right. I need to go buy something for somebody.
Mother's Day or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Local has something else as an importance to community. This is all economic value. This is all just waking people up to what local business really what their role is and what they mean in the fabric of the entire society. But on the eyes of the consumer, on the consumer's side, there is a new pursuit of choosing local, and we talked about that a while back. Why are consumers wanting to connect locally as opposed to that corporate franchise or that corporate business? Because you've cited some studies in that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons that people are supporting local now. Some are really just hopping on the bandwagon. You know, it's cool to do that. You know, hashtag shop local. You see it everywhere. You see the T-shirts. And so there is a coolness factor now. And I would like to clarify that we came up for the idea for Indiana Originals in 2012. So it wasn't that cool yet. But we're really excited that it's getting cool, too. There's also a community of people who just, they know other local business owners. You know, they know the owner, Pat Sullivan of Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Yep. You know, they know Aaron, you know, Site Strategics. You know, they're going to be more inclined mm-hmm. to use you because they know you. Mm-hmm. There's also a generation of people that are really just being more conscious of where their money is going because of their experiences with big corporations. Right. Might have been a layoff. It may have been, you know, a private education that is given them just student loans they can't get underneath, you know, there's or can't get out from. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different reasons that people are shopping local. But what you're seeing is the more we learn about where those dollars are going and the more conscious people are getting, yep. the more they're going to pay attention to that. And it's really interesting, you know, going to a school with, you know, maybe younger kids or even, you know, more millennials and explaining this, you know, they get really, really excited about it. And then if I go speak to a Kiwanis group or a Rotary Club, they're like, well, why aren't people still doing that? Because that's how it used to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Living local was really your only option. But with increased, you know, e-commerce and just more globalization, it's much harder to shop local now. And it's not always the most convenient or the cheapest, which are always factors in purchases as well.
You've got that corporate edifice out there. And even in today's society where social media accounts and the review mentality that people have, they can brandish their viewpoint, but it's still kind of it doesn't get embraced by the national corporate America, but they know they can be taken care of by that local business, right? Mm-hmm. It's that one-to-one relationship that we used to have 30, 40 years ago. And now the pendulum's swinging right back in the digital space. Now you have the ability to communicate to so many people right from your computer, but you still need that the direct personal touch, right?
Yeah, and social media has really, you know, it can really make or break a business. And we had an experience, my husband and I, at a local restaurant a week and a half ago. And it really was an awful experience. And I did say something about it on social media. Mm-hmm. I did not say the name of the restaurant. I didn't say where it was located. Like, I did not give that away. But I shared the experience because mm-hmm. the customer service was atrocious, and that's what needed to be addressed. And so it was more of a learning opportunity in general. Well, what happened is somebody figured out who it was. But instead of stating it, they contacted someone they knew that worked there. So the vice president of that company called me directly. And we were able to talk about what happened and give them positive feedback. They addressed the situation right away. They were able to talk to the manager and find out what happened. They figured out exactly where I sat, so they knew what server to talk to figure out what was going on. And they embraced that feedback. Mm. And I guarantee when we go in, we're not going to have that bad of an experience again because they took it seriously. Now, the positive is that I didn't say online who it was going to be.
Right.
The other positive is that someone did figure it out and we resolved the situation. But there is evidence and research that shows that people take negative reviews more seriously and embrace them more than anything positive.
Right.
You know, if you share something negative about somebody, you know, it can go viral in no time. You try to share a good story or a positive one, you're going to have to share it, I don't know, 5-10 times more to get that point across. And so that social media connection can really bring business owners and their customers closer together. But the business owner also has to be responsive and willing to correct that situation. And the customer also needs to be careful about what they're sharing about their situation, because if they're really trying to help that local business, they could do more harm than good.
I have a good example of this too. So just yesterday, one of my favorite local shops, the Shop Indy, I ordered a shirt. I ordered two shirts, one for me and one for my husband. And it, so it got shipped and only one of them came. So I tweeted to them yesterday with like a stupid gif, like, oops. And I just said like, oops, looks like only one of the shirts arrived. Within literally 30 seconds, they tweeted me back and were like, oh, we're going to place this in the mail today. Thanks so much. And like sent me another stupid gif. And it was awesome. Like it was, I mean, it was before I parked my car and before I got upstairs, they had already responded. And I thought like, good
there
for you, local business. Like that's exactly what you should be doing. That it was, and it makes me like them so much more.
It does. And I always say, if something great happened, tell the world. If something bad happened, tell the owner.
Absolutely. And I do want to implore our local audience who's watching the show, and that's part of it right here, is to be able to ask. I mean, Mel's right here. We certainly want to have you ask some questions as we're streaming right now. That's part of what the Edgecast here is at Edge of Indy. But I do want to come back around to this concept of the local and the responsibility of the company, but also the responsibility of that consumer. You had a filter, right? You were filtering yourself of not brandishing that brand out there.
Yes.
That was you had that level of maturity. Okay. There's so much that the consumer needs to learn in this space. Companies, both national and local, are getting flogged regularly without any type of responsibility on that consumer, right? So they're a bit standoffish whenever it comes down to engaging into that local communication or that review communication.
Yes.
Since you have local businesses regularly working with you, do you help them understand their kind of communication responsibility when it gets down to these type of issues?
Yes. And the challenge of reviews online is that, one, you don't always have the full story.
Yeah.
Two, if the problem was resolved, you don't get stars back for that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And three, often the resolution is going to be very far down in the comments if there was interaction.
Yep.
So one thing I always advise our local business owners to do is to stay on top of those sites. If you're not doing it, find someone to do it for you. Something that does make IndianaOriginals.com unique is we don't do reviews. And that is, one, we're not endorsing anybody over another one. But two, our members have asked us not to because they have so many sites that they have to manage already.
Anyway. Yeah.
Adding another one is really not going to be helpful. It's just going to be more cumbersome. So you do have to be responsive to those messages. And if it's simply, thank you for the message, please contact us at this number,
right. That's
fine. You do not have to put the resolution online. You do not have to have the interaction online. I've seen so many business owners go back and forth with customers, and it's not anything you would say to someone in person.
It's not a good look on anyone.
It's like watching a train wreck. It really is.
It is. And you have so many eyes on it, and no one has the full story. And it's like when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off or you see them swerve over, and you just have this angst and that you're just angry and you're so mad at them. But then when you both get to the red light and you look over and you see that person's face, you just go, oh, okay. And you just kind of shake it off.
Right.
Well, the internet is kind of that same thing. That person is not face to face. You do not see them.
That's right.
And so we actually have a different reaction to just seeing a picture than we do a face-to-face human being.
It doesn't have like a natural ebb and flow reduction of that fervor.
Yeah, there's no context. There's no facial expressions. You're making a lot of assumptions about the tone.
Yep.
And so I always advise business owners, just acknowledge that you received the message and then take it offline.
Yeah.
No matter what, just take it offline.
Absolutely.
And if something great does happen, ask that person to post that it was resolved.
No, we recommend that highly whenever we're working with our clients in from a local standpoint. How do you go about, and I'll say, ask one more question about that type of relationship. It is very, very important, especially the entire concept of the thank you economy and making sure that you appreciate, from a business standpoint, that local business, because the fact that it's not just about hoping that they come back and actually transact with you again. The viral nature, the brand, is so much supported by just that pleasantry and that true, authentic appreciation of that business. It goes a mile wide because there are so many people that one person knows, right? Do you help empower and talk to those businesses on how to get into that type of embracement?
Yeah, we offer more than just the sticker or the directory listing or the app. You know, there's a lot of services that Indiana Originals offers. Excellent. As well, and you can see those at indianaoriginals.com, but consulting is one of those. The customer experience is huge, and that's really one of, you know, my specialties, because especially when you have a small marketing budget, that experience the customer has, that is your advertising.
Yep.
Because they're going to walk out, and again, if they had a great experience, they might tell one or two people. If they had a bad experience, they're going to tell 20.
Or the whole internet.
Or the entire online
it
universe.
It can get lit up. It really can.
Yeah, it can be. And it's just, there's really no saving it after that. And so we do a lot of customer experience training. We have, you know, different mixers where we invite members into our another member's location. Mm-hmm. And we can give that owner feedback right there.
Oh, cool.
You know, how was the food? How was the service? If you had a great experience, share that online. You know, there's a lot of different things that
That's
we can
cool.
do to help local businesses of all different sizes.
I love it. I could talk about this all day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it absolutely is a great thing. And you do need to, as we're talking to potential members, you need to check out IndianaOriginals.com, because there's so much good information there. And as soon as you start seeing all the different members that are there, he's like, oh, wow. Yeah, I could actually plan a trip, and you can start seeing the pathways that you could do inside of Indianapolis. How do you help promote your members on a regular basis?
Well, this is a perfect example.
Cool.
So coming on shows like this, promoting Indiana Originals and what we're doing, mm-hmm. We have Expo and Marketplace events. We actually have one coming up Saturday at Hamilton Town Center.
I was going to ask you that next.
We're part of the Hamilton Fall Festival. So we'll be set up in front of Dick's Sporting Goods. Lots of Indiana Originals members there, so you'll know right away that you're supporting local.
Cool.
We have a regular radio segment on 93 WIBC Sunday mornings at 10:45. We bring in a new Indiana Originals member every weekend mm-hmm. to showcase what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We're regularly on Indie Style, and we do stuff with Fox 59 as well. And we also do a lot of referrals for our members. So we really try to get our members to become each other's customers,
yep.
as well as find them customers that are not business owners.
You know what?
What?
We're going to become a member as well.
Yay!
Yes,
I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. We love what you're doing. We do. I want to put you on the spot here and give a shout out to one of your most recent members.
Sure.
So,
oh, me?
Yeah, yeah.
I can give a shout out?
You absolutely can.
My goodness. Well, the most recent member that we had sign up was Mrs. Murray's Naturals. Have you heard of Mrs. Murray's Naturals?
Please tell me more.
They are a maker of vegan items and vegan food. So it's uh-huh. very, very specialty. They don't have a store, but they're in lots of different retailers. They do lots of different farmers markets. We just had a member mixer at Da Blue Lagoon mm-hmm. Jamaican Kitchen, mm-hmm. which they just opened a brick and mortar location on Pendleton Pike near Oak Landon Road. I could go on and on and on. Vine and Branch in Carmel, they make beautiful furniture out of scrap Indiana wood. So they're known for their arborist work and cutting down trees. Yeah. And they're like, what do we do with all this wood? Well, let's make beautiful furniture out of
wow.
it. So they're going to be at our marketplace on Saturday.
Which is free, by the way.
It is free. Admission is free. Right. Live music, beer, food,
beer.
Professional pumpkin carving.
Beer.
You can decorate cupcakes with your kids while having a beer. I mean,
there
it's
it
going to be... tons
there
of fun. And
there,
did I mention there's an amusement park
nope.
there too, like Ferris wheels and stuff? Like
cool.
it's a legit fall festival.
Very cool.
We're really excited to be there. We have 207 Indiana Originals members, so we don't have time for me to list all of them. But I mean, Comfort Option, they make foam mattresses right here in Indiana. We have, you know, the Rugged Company that makes men's products and clothing and accessories out of Noblesville. We have Poppy's Petals in Jasper, Indiana. They make bracelets out of flower petals.
Hmm.
So maybe it was a wedding or a funeral, yeah. you know, just want to have a keepsake. I mean, it just goes
wow.
on and on and on. Children's cool. books, Roxy Morgan out of Carmel, Indiana. She writes children's books. Some of my kids' favorite. He's named everything George after a snowman, one of her characters.
Oh, George.
I mean, it's... No, Mel, it's pretty awesome what you can find
I said
here.
One. I said one shout
1,000.
And I don't listen well. My husband will vouch for that.
Well, listen to this. Hey, you work alongside a lot of different Indiana businesses, right? Yeah. What about Indy do you actually find special when it comes down to our business community?
You know, I grew up in Irvington on the east side, and I really appreciated that I could walk everywhere. You know, they have the sidewalks, they had the parks, you could get almost everything you needed right there. And it has changed a lot. You know, it's ebbed and flowed over the years, and you know, it's really coming back as a community. And we have some great neighborhoods in Indianapolis that I think we really are starting to embrace more. You know, you go to Chicago, you ask someone where they live, they give you their neighborhood name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You say here, we're like, oh, near 86th and Michigan Road. You know, like you get an intersection.
Right.
And so we're really starting to embrace those neighborhoods and really get those neighborhood identities back.
Here, here.
And that is really what is going to make a difference for the people of Indianapolis, of all different socioeconomic levels, of all different races and ages, and really, you know, just embracing your neighbors is something that we're really moving towards again. And I think that's what's going to really make Indianapolis stand out, especially when they are trying to attract some amazing businesses to the state.
Should we each shout out our own neighborhoods? That would be nice.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's yours?
Metal Bend. Actually, that's like a very, very small. We're Southside Beach Grove kind of ish, just north of Johnson County.
Say it with pride.
You're making my point right there. You're making my point.
I know.
Because go ahead.
I'm going to shout out South Broad Ripple.
There you go.
I love it.
I'm not even sure what mine's called. I know. I live in like
what do you want to call
the
it?
Opposite of everything I promote.
Let's call it something, whatever you want to call it.
You can't go about naming things.
Yes, you can.
We'll name it Indiana Originals. How about that?
Done.
We're in the Crooked Creek area.
There you go.
I'm not sure what the boundaries are for that, but it's called Crooked Creek.
Right.
Do you want to call it the corner of Crooked Creek?
I think we literally are on the corner of Crooked Creek, so that could probably work out well.
Can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming holiday expo and marketplace?
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like basically Christmas now.
It feels like it. It feels like if you go into big retail stores, it pretty much is. Halloween's my favorite holiday. Let's enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then we can move on to Christmas. But coming up on Shop Small Saturday, we are having our Indian Originals Holiday Expo and Marketplace downtown on Monument Circle.
Sweet.
We'll be in the MS Communications building the day after the tree lighting. And we will have 40 different local businesses there that you can do some of your holiday shopping with. Santa Claus will be there. You can get your picture taken. We're going to have drinks. We'll have some food. We're blocking off that curb lane, so we'll have some boutiques and food trucks and stuff on the circle as well.
Sounds
and
fun.
It is going to be wonderful. I'm so excited about
it. Is there beer?
There will be beer. Yes.
Beer.
There's always a foundation.
I pretty much have beverages at every event that I do.
That's why you're my friend.
I'm hospitable.
Yes. Yes, you are. That you are.
That you are. It's great to be able to see something organically grown like this here in Indianapolis and Indiana. We certainly appreciate that type of focus that you're giving local businesses. And how can you kind of prod other communities, other cities across the country to do just that? Have you seen some of this happen before across the country?
There are some county-focused programs and some city-focused programs, but one of the reasons we were very particular about naming Indiana Originals is because we are trying to attract people that aren't familiar with your area to your area. So
makes
the vision
sense.
Is that if you're going up to South Bend, you can open up the Indiana Originals app and see what Indiana Originals members are there. You can do the same thing if you're going to Bloomington or Jasper or Ferdinand, Indiana. They say Ferdinand, but it's Ferdinand.
Where's that?
It's about 2.5 hours south. So if you're going to Holiday World, you go south off of 64 to get to Ferdinand, you go north.
Shout out, Ferdinand.
Shout out to the Sisters of St. Benedict. Thank you for everything that you did. My parents don't want their money back, but that's okay.
Right. Mel, tell us how we can connect with Indiana Originals. You did it before, but let's go through all the places.
IndianaOriginals.com is our website. You can also get in touch with us through our app. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We are on Pinterest. And we're like the first 17 pages of an Indiana Originals Google search. So if you cannot find us, you are not trying that hard.
Try harder. Do better.
Yeah. It's really easy to get a hold of us. And we're very responsive to messages on Facebook as well. So that's pretty easy.
Excellent. Well, we certainly want to give a challenge out to Indiana businesses is get on Indiana Originals and participate as well. Just don't be there as a company. It's a community. And there's interchange, there's exchange, there's communication that's happening. all over Indiana Original socials and the things, right?
Yes, all over the place. And something really important, too, that we try to promote is, you know, business owners are saying, you know, shop local, support local, use local. Well, you as the business owner, make sure you're doing the same.
Yeah.
Live what you preach.
Exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to be talking to one of those local companies coming up right real quick. But thank you so much, Mel.
Thanks,
for
Mel.
Stopping
give him a sticker?
In.
Thank you for having me. I brought you a present.
Oh, do I get a sticker?
You do. You get a support local sticker.
Sweet.
We'll be handing those out on Saturday.
We are absolutely going to throw that on the front of our building.
Oh, well, when you become a member, you get a member sticker.
We can't yet.
We can't yet.
You get a member sticker.
I'll just put it on my basket bin.
Yeah, so if you're looking for local, look for the logo.
Look for baskets.
I'll make you a basket. I'll have a basket made for you. How about that?
Absolutely. Hey, we got to talk about, I appreciate it. I'm just going to ignore it and keep on going. We got to talk about doing some sort of showcase of Indiana Originals here on Edge of Indy because there's such a parallel of what we're doing here. So
yes.
let's talk here in the near future about what we can do to sew some of that in here.
I'd love that. And you just said that in front of a giant audience. Mm. So it has to become true.
Built-in accountability.
Yes.
That's the only way I can actually keep track of my stuff. I just promise it on the show.
I completely know the feeling. I completely know the feeling.
All right. Thanks so much, Mel.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, we're going to be coming up. Well, guess what's coming? Some weird and wacky news coming up right now.
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
It just makes me happy. You know,
it is some feel good music.
It's just, you know, just getting in the car with Paul Poteet. How you doing, Paul?
It's our
I think
official,
that was you on a motorcycle.
Oh, it's like a horse, actually. Right into the sunset.
This is
Paul.
This is the universal thing for motorcycle, right? And then this is horse. You have to do this.
See, I was bouncing. Yeah.
So can you make this the frame grab for this when you put it up?
No, but we're going to make it a yippy very, very quick.
That's exercise. That counts as an isometric.
That is the best thing on the internet all day.
That's better than the squirrel attack that we were talking about yesterday. I got to share
What's
that with
that?
You. Literally, one of our guests was attacked by a squirrel, and he caught it on Snapchat, and it went viral, like, 86,000 plays on that, but everybody started to want to buy his and buy the rights to the squirrel attack. Literally, he was chasing the squirrel, and all of a sudden, it jumped at the camera, and that was it. 7 seconds. Now pull it up.
Squirrel's here.
So what? Oh, here we go. And
look at
here
this
comes
guy.
The squirrel. And
oh my god, so close!
It was not the squirrel that you thought it was. It was his flanking friend.
What did he do? Was he taunting the squirrel?
Well, it was two squirrels. Is that he was following one squirrel, and then his friend attacked the camera.
Oh, the other squirrel was defending.
It was probably
defending
his wife.
The honor.
What are you doing?
Get off of her!
So that went viral. And
what, are you nuts?
Oh,
we're already chasing squirrels. We haven't even started.
We've literally been distracted by a squirrel here.
That's it, right there.
This is an all-time low.
This is
what do you do to
high.
Make what do you how do you boy the squirrels usually I mean I would think of the chances are larger of being attacked by geese in a viral video lately than
Absolutely.
Squirrels because well, I just drove through there's some not too far away from whatchamacallit Fry's up on 96th Street just mm-hmm. north of there. If you're coming in the back way to Fry's and you go by this office complex, there are some geese there that I think they've just created their own, you know, community.
Yeah, it's a gang of geese. It's not a gaggle.
It's a gang of geese.
Literally, it is. And they have little switchblades and leather jackets on. I mean, it's a bad thing.
they have limited government that they've established. They're building, you know, subdivisions. They're establishing geese roundabouts. I mean, they're really taking over in that section of Hamilton County.
Oh, my.
And now, should we move on to the scheduled content?
Let's do it.
Wow.
Well, you talked about our happy feel-good music from our house band, Phil Music, and the stock band boys. I thought I'd start with a happier story. Sometimes on The Edge, it does seem like it gets very, very dark and weird. Would you like a feel-good story?
Let's do it, Paul.
Absolutely, as opposed to our dark and weird regular content.
Well, we'll get right back to that here.
There's
in a moment.
There's a market for that.
Appreciate it.
We now join Dark and Weird already in progress. A wedding photo shoot in Canada. You know, the bride and the groom are... Brittany, you probably went through something like this, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Where did you have an outdoor shoot?
I did. Vancouver, Canada.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, this story is from Canada.
Let's look ahead and make sure that that's not Brittany we're talking about. Okay, good. We're clear.
Was your husband, did he save somebody from drowning in the middle of your photo shoot?
He certainly did not.
Oh, all of a sudden he looks a little smaller now, doesn't he?
He will love that. Hello, Ryan. Love you, dear.
I mean, like Ryan. He can put a prime rib to shame. That's my testament to the man, right?
Hey,
there.
Ryan. I mean, I don't even stack up myself. I could barely get my vows out, you know, without shaking during the wedding. And this guy is saving people during a photo shoot. Look at this dude. And the thing is, it was a photo shoot, so of course we've got pictures because the photographer, you know, just started. It was in Ontario. The groom noticed a boy in distress in the water. I guess they'd already gotten, you know, they'd tied the knot. So he was groom, you know, complete. He was Mr. and Mrs. Cook. And Mr. Cook jumped into Victoria Park Lake, pulled the young boy onto the shore. And of course, the wedding photographer
didn't go and help.
Pictures.
Had to document it.
Didn't call for help. Didn't go
I'd
to help.
I'd love to help, but yeah, I know. Don't you? That always kind of makes me think. Well, should you be taking photos, or should you be, like you said, diving in to help?
Drop
the
camera.
But I guess this guy had it under control.
Yeah, he did. Good for him.
So, and you know what the bride's name is? Did you read the story completely?
No.
Brittany was there. Yeah.
Wow. So
the guy, Clayton, said that while Brittany was getting her solo shots taken.
Sounds about right.
We should take one of you right now solo to go along with us. While Brittany was getting her solo shots taken, I realized only two were standing on the rock ledge. There were three kids he'd seen a while ago. And then he said, I saw the boy in the water struggling to keep his head up. I jumped down. I just kind of plucked him out and he was okay. She said, Clayton's wife said, she originally thought he had jumped into the water as a joke. Oh, that guy of mine.
Just loves that water.
Wow.
So I guess he was rescued pretty quickly. It says the boy appeared fine, a little shaken, obviously, and went off with an older sibling. And Brittany, and talking about her husband, Clay said, that's Clay to me. That's just something he would instinctively do.
Aww.
What a man. What a mighty good man.
kind of stole her moment, though.
Good job,
Clay.
I
mean, yeah. You know, it was about her for the wedding. And
so long as her pictures turned out pretty, which I'm sure they did.
Yeah, right.
Maybe a little soggy, but still.
Maybe. I'm ready. We have a few more solo shots left.
Okay, go do your thing. I'm here.
Yeah, go save a life. All right. Well, now back to the weirder world. This woman came out and found someone had hit her car. Oh, isn't that the worst? And they'd left.
Yep.
But at least they'd left a note. They left behind an apology note, some cash, and a half-smoked joint. Hey, guess which state this was in?
Oh, the state of denial, maybe.
Do you think it was the mad pooper?
It was not.
Well, we'll get to the mad pooper. Just hold that for a moment.
Okay.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Just sit and think about it for a moment, as it were. This is a story from Colorado. Mandy Shepherd was leaving work Sunday. She realized someone had hit her car. They left a long scratch on her back bumper. And once she started driving, she noticed a piece of paper stuck to her left side mirror. And there you see what it says. And an envelope rolled up in a baggie. Somebody took the time to leave her a note and money and half a joint. Part of the
note says,
best
apology ever.
Sorry for the scratch, man, with a drawn-on frowny face. Dude. Yep. She plans to use the $40 to try to pay someone to buff out the scratch. Well, that's not much. That's a pretty steep deductible this guy's left her with. But she's not a smoker.
See.
Yeah, she's not a smoker, so she's not exactly sure what she'll do with the grass.
Sell it.
Well,
just joking.
He was given another $40 to just go buy some more and not even pay attention to the scratch.
Right? Sorry for the scratch, man. Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's there's the close up of it. There's the two $20 bills and the note. I love the four. I'm so wasted right now. I don't remember. Is it FOURFORE
or the number?
No, I'm just gonna write the number, dude. So there
yeah,
you
man.
Go. So wow. Do you think she should she try to track the guy down, or should she just take the high road?
Ooh,
gosh,
see,
you're good.
Oh, well.
No, not bad. Just not bad. We'll give you a couple points on that one.
Just a chronically bad driver involved there. So
yeah.
All right, now. And finally, as we say in the news business, one of my favorite TV news cliches is a story will continue to follow, you know, after they do something like,
right.
Like most of these stories we're forgetting about from here on out. We're never going to look into this again.
Decidedly so. This, we are intentionally forgetting about them, but they keep resurfacing.
Yeah, maybe on some of ours, that would be a good thing, you know, the ones that I bring. But on TV, they'll wrap it up, and then one of the anchors will say, that's the story we'll continue to follow. Well, don't you do that all the time? Well, here's the story that I've continued to follow, and you'll be happy to know, Brittany, it does involve the mad pooper.
You've got to be kidding.
Good. And it should.
This is an Edge update.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Remember
we'll
the serial pooper. Remember the cereal pooper, and I'm not talking about somebody who eats too much grape nuts. I mean, S-E-R-I-A-L, the cereal pooper.
She's a bad
this
lady.
Is the female runner. She goes to the same, she was going while she was running, and she did it at the same family's house over and over again, right?
In front of the kids.
And by the way, this also did happen in Colorado. This was outside of Colorado Springs. So she has been doing that time and time again. Well,
yeah.
Charmin has offered the cereal pooper a year's supply of toilet paper if she surrenders.
I love it so much.
There's the headline, a Colorado family trying to catch a crappy jogger. Charmin offers, is this some brilliant, I mean, this is just easy pickings, as it were. I mean, Charmin says, oh, we'll give you a year's supply of toilet paper.
Please.
I love
turn
it.
Yourself in. Says,
have we still not caught her?
No, I guess not. Jeez. Well, she's fast, apparently.
They're wanting her to clean up her act.
Oh, jeez. Dad jokes. All the dad jokes.
She should not be able to make any money off her notoriety. She should get squat.
Oh.
So I don't know if what Charmin got what it wanted out of this already. People are talking about it. I don't know if she could end up being a spokesperson or not.
I don't know. This story's kind of going down the drain, man. So
jeez, all of you.
Police. Well, Brittany asked, and so here's the story. Police say an active investigation is ongoing. Yeah. How can you not be able to catch this person?
Well, this is the thing with Charmin there. If she can get a hold of that, we'll follow the trail, right?
As it were, especially if we get stuck to a running shoe. I hear the Charmin people are putting their best investigators on the situation right now.
Oh, see?
Oh, geez.
We love that guy.
Oh, we have to go now.
Yeah, all right. I followed. Now I've worked with everybody. I always think, I have worked with everyone. Now I have appeared with Mr. Whipple. I can retire.
Thanks for the memories there. I appreciate that.
So that's another look at the weird and wacky, sometimes uplifting world on the Edge this week.
So we're literally not going to have an ongoing ticker of where the mad pooper is on the show. I just want to warn and assure everybody who's watching the Edge is that this will not be a running update or more importantly a download.
I just got that a little late, but I got it.
And if you had an excessive buffering during that story, you might want to check your download speeds
exactly
at home.
Please check them at home, not when you're running.
See if your router is equipped for 802.11bs. Is that real? This is really nerd dad joke fest.
Pretty much, wow. Yes. I love it. All right. Hey, give us some nerdy weather. How about that?
Well, the forecast is it's a very clean 7-day outlook here.
Yes. Yeah, I love it.
And we finished with our stunning week of almost a week. It was 6 days in a row of 90-degree weather. The longest stretch we'd had the entire year came the second half of September. So that'll be probably one of the notable things about this year. When we're writing the end of the year weather stories, will be this crazy streak. And the only time in the season that we really did any records, we tied three different records on three different days, including the end of the streak on Tuesday. So as we come to you here on Thursday, the forecast for the next 7 days is pretty dry. There's a chance maybe of some showers. Look at that on Tuesday. And
Paul,
look at those highs.
So much better.
Pumpkin spice for everyone. We could all get into the fall mood now. All the fall feels are right there, with maybe even just the upper 60s on Saturday, or right around 70. We're in kind of a very borderline drought now, especially from about Indy westward. So we could use some rain, use some precipitation. Hopefully, it's not all going to come as, you know, like snow on Halloween evening. Remember that? Wasn't that like 2 years ago, or was that 3 years ago?
Oh, that was 3 years ago. Yeah, that sleet that came down.
Sleet and a little bit of snow and a. And of course, it comes on Halloween night when your kids are out, you know, trying to walk around the neighborhood. But man, that just makes it feel, you think we're almost, what, at the end, I'm looking at a calendar, we're almost at the end of September. So we could be seeing snow flying here in about 5 weeks. So
you shut your mouth, Paul.
Hush your mouth. But in between, what we're getting the next week is just about perfect.
This is great. I get to wear boots next week. That's great. Thank you. This is much better. This is much better.
But not snow boots.
No, not snow boots. Just cute, like, brown ones.
Just cute ones.
I don't know what to do with that.
I would advise you, if you lived in Colorado Springs, you might want to wear some boots too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just
some baggies on your boots for that matter.
That's right. Put some baggies on those. Wrap that thing up.
Paul.
This has been a good one, hasn't it?
Well, we appreciate all the fun. And hey, thanks so much. We certainly appreciate it each and every week. Where can our listeners find you and what you're doing regularly? We don't give you enough love here at the end of the end of these segments.
At the end of the road here. Yeah. Boutique.com on several great radio stations across the state, on radio and online, on video with a couple of different partners, both locally and around the country, doing the fun cast, as we call it, for Madison County. We're doing it for Hamilton County now, and for the Smoky Mountains tourism companies outside of the area too, where I do weather for them. And I mentioned the radio and TV, Boomer TV on Wish TV on Sunday mornings, and a bunch of other places. So start at paulpoutique.com.
All the places.
That's the only way. That's how I keep track. Sometimes I look at it. Oh yeah, I'm doing that.
Very cool. Certainly follow Paul Poutique on Twitter as well, because he's churning up literally these type of short stories all the time, and I don't think he's fixated on a mad pooper, but I could be wrong. So check.
It's a story I'll continue to follow, Aaron.
I appreciate that. I'm a bit worried, but I appreciate it. All right, Paul. Well, thanks so much, and we'll catch you next week, all right?
All right. See you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
All right. Hey, we wanted to jump back into our discussions about Indiana businesses. And I want to introduce two friends of the show, and we are certainly appreciative of them coming back off their night of pitching at Powder Keg. Let's introduce two of you here. We've got Stephanie Corliss and Thor Wood. How are we doing, guys?
Doing great.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here.
Fantastic. All right. These are the co-founders of SnapShift. This is a fantastic application that we highly recommend. Anybody that's in the restaurant business, any bartenders, wait staff, literally, as well as restaurant owners, to jump on board and be able to download this, because this is an incredible startup application that is just taking off like a rocket ship. So first and foremost, tell us what happened last night, Stephanie.
Well, last night was a great event at Powder Keg. It was actually an inclusion event, mm-hmm. you know, celebrating women and minorities. Some really great people pitched alongside of me. Kristen Cooper was the MC for the evening, yeah. and I got up stage for the very first time and pitched SnapShift. And it was a great experience.
You did Fantastic. A great job. We were watching
Thank you.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to put you on a little bit of a spot here okay. and ask you in a brief sentence or two, what is SnapShift?
Well, SnapShift is a mobile application that allows venues to fill last-minute shifts mm-hmm. in minutes.
That's right.
Simple as that.
That's right. So any restaurants, any organization that is in the food and beverage industry, right? Yep. They literally have at their fingertips, with their smartphone. How many members do you have on SnapShift right now?
We have over 180 mm-hmm. and we venues, mm-hmm. and then we have over 700 service professionals in Indianapolis.
Yep.
But aside from that, we've also been downloaded in 39 states.
Wow.
Over 126 markets total.
Oh, my Lord.
All the people, all the places.
All the people, all the places.
Well, that's where they're going. That's for darn sure. I mean, SnapShift is really taking the Indianapolis community by storm. And for those of you haven't seen the media story, I mean, literally, you guys have been churning this up. Now, tell us a story, the history of SnapShift, because I mean, you're brand new onto the market, right?
Because it really started at the Indie Startup Challenge, right? Like, that's when things really got rolling?
That's when things got rolling.
Okay.
But Thor has a great backstory to this.
Tell us your story, Thor.
All right, so reality on, was, you know, I'm a big Colts fan. And even though preseason means nothing, back in August of 15, the Colts mm-hmm. lost. We looked pathetic. And I had a few too many. So woke up with a splitting headache the next morning, and just SnapShift was on the brain. I pitched to her. I said, what if we had something that could do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, that's great. So we took it, you know, 3 days later. I've got a business plan. I've never written a true business plan before.
Sure.
So I didn't do much true work that week.
Was that your direct quote? That's great.
Well, honestly, and his idea could not have come at a better time for me to help him mm-hmm. because I was at home. I was pregnant with our little baby girl, Sophie. I was on bed rest, actually. So he literally, you know, got me propped up with pillows and a chair in front of the computer and said, work out the numbers.
Oh, wow.
Can we do this? And it was a viable business idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as just from our vantage point at Site Strategics, and as we come across different organizations and different ideas, different startups, so we're regularly involved with just either showcasing through Edge or just being involved in the Indianapolis community, SnapShift came across our horizons like, whoa, wait a minute, because we're always talking about utility. Okay, and I actually have and witnessing apps that actually have a native utility, and as soon as we describe this to anybody that we talk about, right, they get it in a sentence, you know? And yeah, you have the references of Uber and you have the references of Lyft and all these different, you guys utilize the same technology as Uber and Lyft. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into, it's not just matchmaking of waiters and waitresses and bartenders to the restaurant. You do a lot of vetting, right?
Yeah, we do. Probably more than we need to.
Sure.
But you know, definitely when you've got, you know, these individuals are contractors. They're hungry to work. They're in the industry already. They mm-hmm. just want extra hours, make more money. But we go through the same background check and then another yard or two further that Uber does. And so, you know, we know that they're going to be quality on that front. And then we vet their references, their experience, mm-hmm. the POS systems. You know, what do they know?
Yeah.
And then so, although we're similar to any of the ride sharing or any of the gig economy stuff, you know, we built everything from the ground up, our own way, our own technology, our own development stack. And it's continuing on. Like, I'm really excited right now. We all are because we're about to kick it into a higher gear with some pretty badass features that listening to the restaurateurs, the bar owners, the venue operators, things that they could really use on top of just the on-demand.
Yeah.
So I won't go into too many details right now, but our target is around Thanksgiving. It's going to be big.
Oh, fantastic. Really big. Well, that's the thing about as you dial into a niche market and as you become a utility for a consumer base, they'll give you that what those next stages are just by need, just by asking, right?
Absolutely. Now, we've gotten so we went live September 7th. I don't even know what day it is. So I'm going to say 3 weeks, right?
Exactly, today.
Oh, okay, cool. 3 weeks. It's all bleeding together. But we've, certain things that you can't test for in a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
So we've broken the system a few times. We've found some floating ghost bugs that we didn't know existed.
Right.
And it's all compliments to everybody that's using the app. And they've been patient with us.
I want to take a step back and talk about the startup life in general. You have been so approachable to young entrepreneurs too. Like, you are really trying to help foster the entrepreneurial spirit here in Indianapolis and really working with younger people who have that same drive. Talk to us a little bit about that and kind of what initial advice you would give someone who could use that push in the right direction.
Man, well, we're blessed because we're working with some excellent people that are under 21. We've got one in the studio with us, and he's been really a maestro on social media content, delivering the message that we want to share. His name's Jeremy Miller. He just graduated, 6 months ago? Less than?
Yep.
Yeah, from Greenwood Christian. He's awesome. Check him out, on Facebook. But, of course, we've got some young interns, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One's still in high school.
He's great.
Yeah, up in Westfield. So we love working with those guys. They make us, although we look old next to them, we feel younger, But in terms of the entrepreneurial mindset, and you have an idea, you have a passion for it, the first step is to try.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fail a million ways, but don't be scared of that.
Yep.
Embrace the failure, go forward, learn, and just have no fear is basically my best advice. Be fearless and always ask questions.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I got to take part in Purdue's very first startup weekend. I was asked to be a mentor. It was a really awesome experience. And to, see all of these freshmen in college, mm-hmm. sophomores in college, come up with some pretty amazing ideas and be able to foster it, and then see other community leaders come in and help mentor and foster. I really hope it's something that they continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about just being open to that discussion. There's successes, there's failures, and being honest about them.
Yep.
I really think that, we are helping garner the next generation of business leaders.
Absolutely. And speaking to that next generation, and we certainly have a number of great people that are watching the stream right now. For example, Don Wetrick, who's actually teaching a huge group of new innovative students in high school. What we're seeing here is those students are fearless. There is a new wave of entrepreneurs that are going to be becoming of age, so to speak, very soon, and they're hungry.
Yeah.
And they are owning the space, and the more and more mentor type of opportunities where that Indiana is exploring, we're seeing some explosive growth, and the threshold of creating something is so low now that they can get out there and try their hand at things. So you're going to be seeing a whole new group of innovators that are going to be challenging some of the old stigmas, the old dogmas of how to do business.
The old people.
Hey. Do you see that? She stared directly at me and said that. No, but I mean, that's the thing is that, and groups like Fail Fest with John Wexler, all the launch group that are actually continually to bringing this type of information of it's okay to fail, learn from it, have a process of learning from it, but keep going. And that's what you guys have done. That's what you guys epitomize.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That's awesome.
It is great. Thank you.
But again, though, not every market's the same. All right. So I've said it before, we chose Indy over, you know, a half dozen other cities that we seriously considered, mm-hmm. including West Coast, you know, Portland. I halfway jokingly looked at Seattle, but I'm not a Seattle fan.
No.
Just kidding.
No.
Love you, Amazon. It's the Seahawks. That's all. Anyway, looked at Las Vegas, Nashville.
It's football.
He is a diehard Colts fan. Huh? Did you not hear the story of Snapshift?
Yes. Aaron doesn't really quite follow.
I can follow
sports.
Hogwarts, but whenever we go, it is what it is. But yeah. Keep on going.
Yeah. So I don't know what I was saying.
Why football. We chose Indy?
Yes, yeah, so we chose Indy because so I left 6 years ago.
Right.
And there was a few players. I came back because I couldn't help but see the ecosystem that was being built. From the Wechslers of the world, from mm-hmm. Matt Hunkler, you know, what they've been able to do with Verge now evolving to Powder Keg. I mean, without them, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have, because I didn't know, you know, my butt from a hole in the ground. And, but so to be.
Quote of the day.
Yes.
I love it.
The whole thing of toilet paper is still on my mind. From that new story with Paul. So
I'm glad I planted that seed.
But yeah, so it's been such a supportive environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The best part is, even though there's still this Midwest nice, people that are involved in this industry will pull you aside and be like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Let me show you a better way.
Yeah.
Or suggest something. And so we've got a strong pool of advisors that we would not be here and feel confident and you know, actually have anything on market right now if it weren't for them.
Well, people in the Midwest would say that's terrible, but bless your heart.
Yes.
Well, and another thing, too, is we moved up here right, like, at the perfect timing mm-hmm. because we joined the Indie Startup Challenge, the inaugural Indie Startup Challenge. Oops.
It's okay. Sorry. It happens.
It happens. I flail.
See?
You said you were the flailer. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't sit next to you.
It could have been dangerous.
But, you know, to come up with an idea and then actually go through a 10-week boot camp where you have to vet your idea, you have to get out and actually talk to customers and see if it has legs, was such an amazing process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Thor thought he was going to start the journey alone. I did the financials. I was going to be behind the scenes. And then he said, come on, we're doing this together. And it really was. You know, I'd been in corporate America most of my life, right. And so to take that leap with him was pretty amazing. But to have that support from all of these people, Elevate Ventures, Logica,
absolutely,
you know, it, and to go through the process with 15 other companies that were going through that same idea phase. Mm-hmm.
Very cool, and it's such a fertile ground to be able to do that. Yeah. Well, you also have an entire team inside of Snapshift, and we certainly would be remiss if we didn't bring them on show. So we've had them on host. So let's go ahead and pull in your team. We'll throw it up on screen and talk to them real quick. We have Alex online.
Alex. There he is.
Hey.
I'm here live.
Oh, fantastic. Alex, introduce yourself.
I'm Alex Smith, doing some sales and marketing. We've got the team here. We're smiling and dialing, just reaching out to venues across Indianapolis. And it's really not a sales pitch. It's an education, right? We're just calling, telling what we're doing. We have people live and ready right now, ready to work. And as they get in the evening, they'll call no shows. It's our job to educate them, let them know we're available.
Very cool. So you want to talk a little bit about your team, guys?
Yeah, so this guy's, he's the boss. I mean, he just kills it. huge background. I'll plug him a little bit.
Yeah.
He was, I think it was last year, Tech Points, Tech 25. Right, Alex?
Well, yeah, let me get a better, maybe the lighting is a little off here.
You mean you're not actually on the sun right now?
Okay, I'm getting nauseous now. Hold on a second.
Now we've got a good team though. Alex, his background in marketing and sales is integral, especially in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
He and I have logged about 40 miles last 2.5-3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, beating,
knocking on doors.
Yeah.
That's it.
They see us about 30 feet away and they go, hey, guys, yes, I'm signing up. I promise.
You don't happen to have like a baseball bat as well as you're coming down the street.
Get the lights off and lock the doors.
It's Alex and Thor. Bang, 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 bang.
Unless he's carrying the box of donuts.
Yes. So, yeah, unless there's donuts. So
well,
that's right.
That'll get you in anywhere. pretty much.
As long as I don't get to them beforehand.
Right.
So, so you're pursuing, so it's not just an app and it's just not out there for people to download. You are pursuing the community of restaurateurs and the snap shifters. I mean, this is part of how you do business, folks, is going out there with a passion and the boots on the ground, making sure everybody is aware of it. So as much as we're digital marketers and we understand the wake that you need to create, you've got to get it in front of people, right? That's why you're pitching. That's why you're in these different spaces so people can be aware of it, but you got to get it to the consumer regularly.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and this is one of these solutions that the users, the shifters, they actually can rise up. So if this is something that they're embracing and they're coming on by the hundreds, as Stephanie and Thor had mentioned, they're the ones that help get the word out. This is their tool. Again, this is nothing more than just a tool for venues to help them do better what they do all day long, a tool for professionals to make more money. So as they embrace it and get it out there, just as your point, you got to pound the pavement, be vocal, let everybody know what's happening, because the more on both sides, everybody wins.
Oh, very good.
Way to go, Alex.
Saying.
Nailed it.
Play that back so I can get it written down. Yeah. That's spot on.
That's your
on.
New mission?
Yeah. It's excellent.
Well, that's what's interesting about SnapShift is that you're also developing something, this community that is its own ecosystem. What's unique about this is that you have the vetting of all these SnapShifters, and they got to keep their nose clean, so to speak, is that everything goes through a background check. Everybody does. And they have an experience with these restaurants, and they have to make sure that they're selected for the next gig. So they have a constant transaction history behind them, as do the restaurants and the different food and beverage. So it's this well-balanced ecosystem. And now you're in the space where the brand is starting to be understood. And I mean, the next level is literally the consumer's looking for organizations that are SnapShift participants, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the goal. I think it's a trifecta. Cool. You know, we're all consumers.
Yep.
We judge 97% of the consumers for food and beverage. They judge on customer service. That's their decision making on if they're gonna go to a bar or a restaurant or not.
Yep.
And so no one's gonna change that. We want to be taken care of. And so this allows all these venues to always be able to take care of staff like a pro.
Right.
Things happen. You know, people get sick, car accidents, they quit, you know, whatever it may be. You don't have to be stuck anymore, ever. And I will say one secret that's coming out. We're going to be doing advanced scheduling as well.
Oh, fantastic. So,
breaking news? Is that maybe breaking news?
That's
for
a
us?
Little bit. Yeah. I do have one surprise, I think. You know, you tell me if it's breaking or not.
Okay.
You know, the traction's been so great in Indy.
Yep.
And the demand, you know, as Steph mentioned earlier, 39 states, 120 plus cities. A couple of those cities are right here in central Indiana. And so I'm going to throw a challenge out there to my team, but also to the cities of Bloomington and West Lafayette. We know just from the feedback we've gotten, you want us there.
Mm-hmm.
So prove it. Let's see who can get there the quickest. We would like to launch in one of those cities by Halloween. And
prove it, he said. Prove it.
Yeah, let's see. Who's your Boilermaker? Who's going to get it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well,
there
how
it
do
is.
We let you know now?
So whoever, here's the mission, though, and we'll have some more details that come out, and we'll send out some links.
Sure.
But whoever, from a venue standpoint, from a download standpoint, we're going to track this, and there'll be a live ticker. So you can see where you're stacking up at any moment of the day.
Game on.
And so it'll start October 1.
Yep.
And on Halloween, when we're all having a good time in our costumes, we'll go ahead and announce who the winner is. And we're going to follow it up with, we're going to get a citywide, not a bar crawl, but a crawl. Every food and beverage venue that's involved with SnapShift, we're going to get this thing moving. You know, have a little parade of sorts, if you will.
Huh.
And just have a good old time.
Am I invited to that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay,
there's a few gears that are rolling right now. We need to talk about that. I think we might be able to document some way, shape, or form. That sounds great. I mean, Alex, the game's on, man. You up for this?
Oh, absolutely. Game down. Let's throw it down and let the city speak for themselves. We're here. We'll help them get on board. And again, it's just an education piece. So they got to speak for themselves and battle it out.
That's it. That's it.
By the way, just so everybody knows, it's free for everybody. Mm-hmm. All right. So even for the venues, we made a decision that we want to show our love completely to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no subscription fee.
No fees whatsoever.
For Indiana. You basically need to download it. You create your profile as a venue. You need to upload your credit card because that's how we're going to pay these people.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you only pay when you use it.
For free.
There's no excuse not to have this. And if you're a good manager, if you're a good owner, if you're a good bartender, tell your managers and your owners because this is the best insurance policy they could possibly have. And any questions, you got to ask us. But we'll walk you through it. But this is a simple, simple game changer.
You know, I agree with you completely. I think this is fantastic. I also think you also have another mantle that you're wearing of just telling the collegiate entrepreneurs that are paying attention, they're innovators, of how to do it. You have a new level of education responsibility. I mean, not to put too much on you, but I mean, literally, you're challenging the communities of Purdue and Bloomington, but at the same time, you're also educating them. So we certainly want to entreat those entrepreneur and innovative communities to jump on board and be able to not only be inside the app, but also support the app, right?
Absolutely.
That's what's fantastic about what you guys are doing.
Take it one step further, a little icing on the cake.
Yep.
We will be hiring. We're going to be very aggressive with this.
Oh.
And so.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh. Yes. So be on the lookout probably over the next 30, 45 days. We're going to have some announcements there.
Very cool.
But we're looking for everything from the sales and marketing side of things, mm-hmm. development, mm-hmm. you know, engineers, that sort of thing. So we're really excited, and we want to grow it with Indiana talent first and foremost. So
excellent.
That's the mission list.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, to wrap up, what advice would you have to other indie startup companies and entrepreneurs here?
Get out of the building, go talk to your customers before you spend too much money trying to make something you think someone will buy. Actually find out it's something that they need, you know, let them tell you.
Yep.
And also don't be defeated. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. Just remember those good days when you have some really low days to kind of pull you out, because I think, you know, especially with Fail Fest, and you know, it's okay to fail, but if it's you that's failing because you're just down in the dumps, you're getting too many no's and not enough yeses, you just have to remember that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and don't give up on yourself.
That's
very
great.
Good. Very good.
I don't think I can top that, but I do love this quote: "Excellence is as difficult as it is rare. Mm-hmm. Nothing's perfect." It's never going to be perfect. Yeah. So just throw it all out there. Go. You know, don't be fearless, like I said. That's my best advice. And then try. You'll never know, and you'll probably regret it if you don't try.
There it is right there. All right, Alex, I'm going to toss it to you. Tell us how we can find SnapShift.
Well, the best and the easiest way is just to get on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. Anywhere you exist online, we exist as well. So reach out to us that way. It's going to be the quickest and easiest. We respond immediately.
There it is.
And just to repeat, download the app though.
Yeah.
That's the quickest way to learn. You can find us anyway, text, email, call, but do it. And then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I filled out my profile. I'm a 7+ year bartender. Did you know that?
I did not.
I absolutely have those skills.
I'm a home bartender.
That's okay.
And there's value in that.
So says Ryan. Yes, exactly, absolutely.
Exactly. I'm a great bartender.
That aren't in the industry, it's a huge deal. They can hop on, follow us on social. And like the gal said earlier before, right? It's, if you have a bad experience, it's unacceptable, right? In a restaurant now. And if the excuse is, hey, we're short staff, we're in the weeds, let them know. Say, hey, do you know about SnapShift? We're there to help.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, consumers can sell this as well.
Absolutely.
All right. So wrapping up, challenge thrown out by SnapShift to see which town is going to have the next SnapShift launch, right?
Absolutely. Let's see it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Come on, Bloomington. You can do it.
I'm voting for Bloomington, too. I want to see what's happening. We got some other Purdue grads here in the office, and we'll see if they can gin up a little bit of competitive nature. Hey, thanks so much, both of you, for coming on. I know it was a long, late night last night, but we certainly are huge fans of what you guys are doing.
Likewise, guys.
Thank you.
So if you guys are just tuning in for the first time, Edge, you've got to like it. Like us all on Facebook.
Absolutely. All right. Just want to say thank you so much to Mel McMahon over at Indiana Originals, as well as Thor and Stephanie of Snapshift. A fantastic focus on Indiana business, and this is exactly what Edge of Indy is about all the time. So choose local, and choose local often.
All the time.
Choose it right now. All right. This is Aaron and Brittany signing off for Edge of Indy. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.